Welcome in, everybody. My name is Matt Hicks. You can find me on Twitter at the FF underscore educator. I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Eric Adams. You can find on Twitter at the FF Taters. And I, Eric, am one sad Giants fan. It was not a good first round of the playoffs for me. How did you feel about the first round of the playoffs, sitting on your butt, getting the bye?
Status quo, nothing changes, another year. Good games, I enjoyed them. I feel like people were just way too down on the games. I had a blast watching all four. And best weekend of football coming up, divisional round. Can't get any better.
What were your thoughts? Are you happy you pulled the Chargers? Would you rather have pulled one of the other three potential teams?
Definitely thought the Chargers were the hardest of the three, but I thought that we could beat all three of them, and I don't particularly care. I think people are overrating the Chargers right now, to be honest. I think people really hate us and are just... You know, there's a lot of bots that they're just, you know what, we're just going to pick the Chargers just because of not even stats or the tape or anything that's happened this past season. We're just going to take the Chargers because we hate the Patriots. I feel like that's what this is this week.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be disappointed on Sunday.
Well, you know, Eric, I did get to see the Chargers up close and personal last week. If you don't know, I live in Baltimore. I went to the Ravens game. And let me tell you, Eric, there is nothing quite like playoff football. And I don't even care that the Ravens lost. I don't even care that the Ravens offense was horribly managed for 3.5 quarters. That was a fantastic, absolutely fantastic environment to play or to watch football be played in. I've been to all sorts of sporting games. Been to SEC football. I've been to Premier League soccer in England. That game on Sunday was right up there with it. Watching that defense in person play at that level in the playoffs with the energy in the stadium, I mean, even though we lost, it was a fantastic experience. So I think the Ravens have a lot to be excited about. It's not one of the teams we're going to talk about this week, but I think moving forward, they have a lot to be excited about. I think Lamar Jackson showed a lot, and he was completely neutralized for about three quarters because of play calling. But once the Ravens opened him up, the offense opened up and he was able to be very successful. So I just felt like I owed the listeners a little bit of a recap there of last week. But if you can get to playoff football, people, get there. Eric, I know I had a friend looking up tickets for the Patriots game this weekend. Ridiculously priced.
Way too expensive. Most expensive seats in sports.
It was like...
Sorry. If they were playing the Colts this week, I might have shelled out, but I will have to wait one more week for that. So
yeah, well, you have that luxury. You have the luxury of the possibility of hosting another home game. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's go over what we're going to do in today's episode. We're going to preview the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. We're going to talk Colts Chiefs first, Cowboys Rams. We're going to then pop over to the Sunday games and go Chargers Patriots and then Eagles Saints. Eric, before we do that, I want to remind our listeners, if you're not already subscribed, to please go ahead and hit subscribe. If you didn't listen to our episode from earlier this week, our quarterback 2019 quarterback rookie class primer episode, I want to implore you to hit the pause button on this. Go back and listen to the primer episode, or quite frankly, that episode, it's still going to be relevant in a week or even 2 weeks, so you can go ahead and listen to that after this or sometime next week. I encourage you to do it. It's a real deep dive, and we're going to do QB's part two early next week. So with that being said, Eric, I know you're ready. You're very excited to talk playoff football. Let's start here with the Colts and Chiefs, the 4:30 game on Saturday at Arrowhead. First and foremost, how do you feel about the Colts and Chiefs kicking us off with the 4:30 time slot? I think it's a pretty nice way to start it.
Oh, yeah. This actually, I'm obviously the Patriots fan, but this is probably the game I'm most excited for. This is going to be just knockdown, drag-out brawl, great offenses. The defenses probably have a chip on their shoulder. They bring some nice things to the table, but it's really about the offenses, about the quarterbacks in general. Very excited. This is about as good a way as the divisional round can start off. Matt, on the Chiefs side of the ball, what are you looking at fantasy-wise going against that Colts defense that really, really stifled the Texans a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. I think you know what you're getting out of Patrick Mahomes. If you took him in best ball leagues, you probably took him 101, and you need to get a lot out of him. But listen, if we're talking Tyreek Hill, he's a guy that's a little bit less consistent. He's been less reliable for you. And you're right, Eric. The Colts shut down DeAndre Hopkins. They limited Deshaun Watson. A lot of that was because of Watson's ability to run the ball, which we know Mahomes can do too. Not quite to the same level, but it's there. That potential's there. And then, of course, I think the biggest wild card for the Chiefs, Eric, is Damian Williams. Is Damian Williams going to be a guy? You probably had to take him in the second round of best ball drafts if you took him. So is he gonna come back with that upside, or is he just going to be kind of a jag? And I think he's a guy that we're watching in the playoffs a lot to see about next season. You know, the hot thing to do is call for the Chiefs to pick a running back in the draft. But if we see a lot of good stuff out of Damian Williams, he's going to be a guy to watch moving forward here and see if Kansas City feels comfortable with him. And of course, I think in any weekly setups, you're playing Travis Kelce. You got to be excited to play Travis Kelce, and you hope he has the type of game that his ceiling indicates, because it hasn't really been there towards the end of the season, what we saw earlier on. So that's kind of what I'm looking for in terms of fantasy. I think there's going to be a lot of Chiefs played this week, and quite frankly, I think you should be playing a lot of Chiefs and a lot of Colts, because following Vegas is always a safe thing to do, and their over-under is 57 for this game, Eric, highest of the week.
I think they will hit that as well. They're going to hit that.
Yeah, I would hammer the over. I would hammer the over on that. If I was a betting man, I would take the over.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. For the Chiefs, they got to give Pat Mahomes time to throw. You know, the Colts pass rush, it's better than give him credit for. The Chiefs' O-line is much better than Texans, so they'll have to work extra hard to corral Mahomes. He's a very difficult quarterback to bring down. The Chiefs allow the fifth least amount of sacks in the league, so they have that working in their favor. I don't think the Colts dominate the in the trenches as much as they did a week ago against the Texans. You mentioned Tyreek Hill. Kenny Moore is going to likely be on Tyreek Hill, and Kenny Moore has really, really emerged this year. He's been a pleasant surprise for the Colts, turning into their number one corner. Look, I like the Colts D more than the Chiefs D, but they don't play each other. The Colts defense is going to have to come ready to play. The Texans were extremely limited. They had, you know, they were missing Demaryius Thomas. They were missing, what's his name, Will Fuller. And then they got the real bad O-line. Throw all that out the window. I know a lot of Colts fans are feeling very confident this week going into Kansas City, and rightfully so. Their team has been playing extremely well. They've probably been the hottest team in the second half of the NFL season. This is a completely different animal. I'm just saying, calm it down just a little bit. But Matt, when the Colts have the ball, who are you looking at fantasy-wise?
Well, Eric, I just want to ask you one more question about the Chiefs' offense before we move on here. There's a pretty grim stat out there when it comes to quarterbacks who are playing their first playoff game. Starting quarterbacks who are playing their first playoff game since 2002, their record is 14-32. Is Pat Mahomes good enough to be the 14? Or is he going to fall to a similar fate that Mitch Trubisky fell last week, that Lamar Jackson fell last week?
I would like to know the name. Well, I know we're obviously not looking this up on right now, because over 50 quarterbacks, something like that. I would like to know the names of all those quarterbacks, because I guarantee you they're not Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I'm not obviously
that at all. I think Mahomes is going to have a game. I really don't worry about him at all. I think the Colts can get him, though. I think they can get a couple picks on him. If they do, I think that really, really will go a long way in them winning. But listen,
here we go. You want the names? I got the names.
If that's what you're pointing to, that he's going to struggle, I got some bad news for you.
Here we go. I got the names. Yep. This year.
Oh, man.
Trubisky, Jackson, and Watson. That was 2018. 2017, Goff. Yep, Goff lost. Bortles, Keenum, and Mariota actually won. These are quarterbacks. Yeah, I didn't say rookie, did I? It is just the first time they're starting. The first time they're starting in the playoffs. Other losses include Tyrod Taylor in 2017. 2016, we have losses. This is when your argument's going to get a little bit better. Connor Cook, Matt Moore, Dak Prescott. 2014, Ryan Lindley. Nick Foles, 2013, his first go-around with the Eagles. Cam Newton in 2013. Andrew Luck in 2012. Joe Webb in 2012. Colin Kaepernick, by the way, in 2012 won. And Eric in 2011, Tim Tebow won. I had to throw that one in there. But also notable, Matthew Stafford in 2011 lost. And Matt Castle in 2010 lost his first game.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited the guy that Mahomes is facing on Sunday. I'm probably taking Mahomes over all those guys, especially with the offense that he's in right now. I'll take Mahomes. So, like I said, I'm not really looking towards the first time starting in the playoffs. He might struggle. I'm really not looking at that.
Well, it's not a question of talent, but it's a question of being in that situation before.
You think he's nervous?
Yeah, I do. I do think he's nervous. Think about it. This guy's never played in a big game.
The way the Colts defense is playing lately.
This guy is never, he's never played in the big game, Eric. He did not have a big...
The Patriots game this year wasn't a big game. The Rams game this year wasn't a big game.
That's not playoff football. He's never played in a major bowl game in college. He's not played NFL football. That's not the same thing.
All right.
I'm not banking on it, but I'm just saying it's worth having the hesitation.
Listen, man, I'd rather point towards the Colts defense as a reason that he might struggle instead of just saying it's his first playoff game. He's going to be nervous. That does not make me feel good if that's what we're pointing at.
All right, talk to the Colts. Talk to me about the Colts.
All right. So when the Colts have the ball, this is where the matchup's going to be decided, because everybody and their mother has been trashing the Chiefs' defense. Much maligned unit throughout the year. Their strength is their D-line, where they may very well have the best pass rush in the NFL, and if you're rolling your eyes at me, don't. They tied for the league in sacks. They have 52 sacks this year. That ties the Steelers for the most in the league. They get after the pass rusher, or the pass rusher, the passer. Colts O-line, though, is no secret anymore. They are one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. That's what a difference a year makes. This battle in the trenches will likely decide the matchup. The Colts O-line dominated a very good Texans defensive line last week. I mean dominated. They just absolutely destroyed them. Quentin Nelson had his way. He had one play where he literally blocked Clowney and Watt on the same play. That's incredible. But the Chiefs defense... The one thing they've been bringing this year is heat, and they can sack the quarterback. Luck's going to have to be on the move. They're going to try and get him off his spot. The way Luck reacts to that, that's going to go a long way in deciding who wins. Also notable is the Chiefs' run defense. They ranked 27th in rushing yards allowed, so Marlon Mack could very well be the X factor for Indy. There's some worry about T.Y. Hilton as well. His ankle injury, you know, I said it to my friend Todd last week when the Colts were playing the Texans, you know, that ankle injury isn't going to bother him in Houston when it's hot out and it's, you know, there's humidity and it's nice weather. This week in Kansas City is going to be a different story. It's going to be freezing. So that ankle could numb up. Something to monitor. Just, you know, the little things. It's definitely something to monitor throughout the game for the Colts. Chief safety Eric Berry did not practice Wednesday. I don't expect him to play. That's good news for Eric Ebron. So, Matt, for fantasy... Hilton, I'd be a little nervous about. Ebron, I'm all in on Ebron. And Marlon Mack.
Did you see Ebron just totally moss the dude last week? And
yes.
Here's the thing about Ebron, too, and what I'm really loving about it, he's got some swagger to him, man. I think his confidence is skyrocketed, and you can't blame the guy, but that takes your game to a different level. I mean, he comes to ball every week, he's not afraid to show you it on the sidelines. So I loved what I saw from Eric Ebron last week, absolutely. You mentioned it earlier, but Marlon Mack, next level impact player. 24 attempts, 148 yards, one touchdown. And listen, I know Marlon Mack finished the season well, and I know Marlon Mack is a guy I've always liked. I've never liked his situation. But I'm hearing, like, Marlon Mack third round redraft pick next year. Like that's what I'm hearing on Marlon Mack right now, because people are so hype off his first round performance. And listen, he's got every opportunity to do that again this week, especially if the Colts can get ahead and control the time of possession, control the game in the way that they were able to do last week against Houston. So, yeah, it's Marlon Mack, it's Eric Ebron. You're right to think about T.Y. Hilton, Eric, but T.Y. Hilton ain't right. And I got a lot of respect for T.Y. Hilton because I know he's battling through those lower body injuries. And I do say plural, it adds up. You got to look at other Colts wide receivers, and these are guys who are going to be less owned, and who, if you're playing in a DFS format, can be cheaper. But, I mean, Dontrell Inman got the fifth most fantasy points for wide receivers last week. He caught all four of his targets for 53 yards and a touchdown. And then you also have Chester Rogers there, who caught four out of five of his targets for 46 yards. If T.Y. Hilton leaves the game early, he's going to go out there and he's going to play. But if he leaves the game early, he had 10 targets last week. That opens up a lot of opportunity for other players in Indy, other wide receivers.
Last point on the Colts, and specifically about T.Y. Hilton. Colts got up 21-0 real fast in that game last week. All right, T.Y. Hilton was having a game in the first half. I don't think it was a coincidence that they did not score in the second. Well, did they score in the second half? I know they got up 21-0 and they didn't score for the rest of the game. It's not a coincidence that T.Y. Hilton kind of faded in the second half of that game. I feel like the ankle started to bother him in the second half of the game. Once you have to go into halftime, you got to sit on that ankle. It numbs up on you. That's going to be even worse this week. So for the Colts, that first half is going to be a big deal for them for sure. Matt, X factor for the Colts this week. What do you like?
Can you not say Andrew Luck?
You can absolutely say Andrew Luck.
Yeah, it's Andrew Luck for me. If he can dominate the game, control the game in the way he did last week. Listen, we only saw actually 32 attempts from Andrew Luck last week. The Colts had control of the game early. I want to see how Andrew Luck plays in a shootout atmosphere. I want to see if he can go above and have that that X factor quality, that Brady-esque quality of elevating his game in the playoffs. He's going to be asked to throw the ball at least 40 times this week. I think, Eric, he eclipsed 50 passing attempts this week. There's got to be a prop bet out there somewhere on Andrew Luck passing attempts. I think he's going to be throwing the ball a lot. I think he could go well over 400 yards, and I think he could end up with three touchdowns, but it's going to be whether or not he ends up with two or three interceptions as well. So I think a lot of the game is going to be, can Andrew Luck elevate himself to the next level and really own that persona of the underdog? And, Eric, quite frankly, the X factor is going to be what Andrew Luck, his Twitter account, tweets out, Captain Andrew Luck.
That is going into Friday night, going into Saturday. Yes, that is going to be the X factor. Captain Andrew Luck, what does he got?
Oh, no. Oh, Eric, I'm sorry. I know we're not allowed to, we're not talking coaches on this podcast, but breaking news. What? Did you see the newest hire?
I did not.
Sell all of your Jets for fantasy.
Mike McCarthy?
Nope. Keep going. Worse.
Matt Rhule?
No, keep going. Worse.
How?
Who do we... What coach do we hate for fantasy?
Adam Gase?
It's Adam Gase. The Jets hired Adam Gase.
I love it. Thank God. Oh, my God.
Sell your Jets. Cool your Jets, people. Literally cool your Jets.
Oh, my God.
Burn your Sam Darnold shares. Burn them to the ground.
Oh, Adam Gase. Oh, my God.
That's Ian Rappaport reporting that. 2 minutes ago, Ian Rappaport tweeted it. So I know you're listening to this later than that, but we're recording on Wednesday night, and
You literally couldn't even learn from your own division?
Yeah.
All right, back to the pot here. Jesus Christ. X factor for me for the Colts is Marlon Mack and the O-line. The stat out there when Marlon Mack gets like at least 20 touches is absurd. I'm pretty sure they're like 11-2. So feed Marlon Mack. Like I said, the Chiefs can't stop the run. I expect Mac to have a very nice day running the ball. The O-line, if they can keep Andrew Luck clean from this vaunted Chiefs pass rush, I like the Colts all the way in this then, because that's really their only hope on defense. I see Andrew Luck shredding this defense. It's gonna be a big day in the trenches. You know, they always say whoever controls the line of scrimmage wins the game. I think the Colts have a pretty good chance to do that on both sides of the ball. Matt, my X factor for the Chiefs, you said, can you pick Andrew Luck? I said, sure. Why? Because my X factor for the Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes. Why would it be anybody else? You said it, first playoff game. Do nerves come into play? It's cold. I don't think that'll bother him. But Patrick Mahomes, first game, playoffs. You know he's going against Luck. It's going to have to be high scoring. He's going to have to put up points. Doesn't have as good a defense as Luck. He's definitely facing the tougher defensive matchup. I think it all falls on Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's going to be watching him. It's his show this weekend. If the Chiefs win, it'll be because Patrick Mahomes did something extraordinary.
Eric, yep, I agree. I agree with that. Who are you picking, Colts or Chiefs?
I am going with the Colts. I think the Colts have just been on fire second half of the season. I think they've been the best team in the NFL. Their defense isn't getting enough credit. I tweeted out last week, whoever won the Ravens-Chargers game is going to be the team that everybody's like, oh, nobody wants to play this team. That's completely wrong. It is the Colts right now. The Chiefs drew the harder matchup of the two. The Colts. I like the Colts in this game. I like them in a close game. I don't think the Chiefs are going to get blown out by any means, but I think the Colts just have a more well-rounded team.
All right, Eric. I want to preface this by saying I will be a fan of the Colts this weekend. I would be hard-pressed to find somebody who's not a Kansas City fan that isn't rooting for the Colts this weekend, unless you just feel, you know, a heavy loyalty to Patrick Mahomes for winning your fantasy season. But I'm going to pick the Chiefs because I picked the Chiefs before. I have them going to the Super Bowl. I think that offense is next level for every reason we've talked about. But I will absolutely be rooting for the Colts. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But if I had to pick, I'm going to pick the Chiefs.
All right. Fair enough. Moving on to that Cowboys at Rams, 8:15 at Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum in L.A. on Saturday night. Matt, talk to me about the Rams offense and fantasy implications.
Todd Gurley.
It really does start and end there, doesn't it?
It does.
How much of a difference has that made?
I mean, Todd Gurley, far and away, obviously the running back one in the season. And a lot of people... In the NFL playoff challenge format, a lot of people sat Todd Gurley last week to get the multiplier bonus. So they literally were willing to take 0 points to get Todd Gurley at double points this week. And Todd Gurley is going to rack up points. And if he doesn't, a lot of people are going to get burned. A lot of people took Todd Gurley early in the best balls. And a lot of people are going to use their... like if you're in a league where it's one and done, a lot of people I think are going to use Todd Gurley this week, which is actually a little risky because the Cowboys have a good rush defense. So I think Todd Gurley has a legitimate challenge in front of him, and it's not an automatic like we've seen every other week. I mean, you know, how many times are you going to go into a week and not feel confident that Todd Gurley is going to get the job done? But the Cowboys, they give you legitimate reason to pause going into that. I mean, if you're looking at the regular season, the Cowboys allowed the 7th least fantasy points to opposing running backs this season, and they've only gotten better as the season's gone on. So, I mean, it's hard not to play Todd Gurley this week, but you got to do so with caution.
It sounds like you're a little iffy on that Rams offense.
I'm iffy on the rush game. I'm iffy on the rush game.
Can I give you a reason to be iffy on the passing game as well?
Go for it.
Listen, Jared Goff has not been the same QB since Cooper Kupp went down with a torn ACL, right? In games Cooper Kupp played in, Goff has a touchdown to INT ratio of 17-6. In games since the Kupp injury, Goff's touchdown to INT ratio, 10-6. His safety net is gone, which means he's under a lot more pressure. Cowboys will look to bring that pressure, forcing the Rams into obvious passing downs on second and third and long. It's the Rams' job, and more specifically the run game's job, to avoid those obvious passing downs. Look, I agree with you. I think it's a very this is a rough matchup for the Rams. I think that offense is running into a defense that's playing extremely well right now. You said they have a very good rush defense. You're right. They have allowed the fifth least rushing yards in the league. So Todd Gurley has his work cut out for him. On the flip side, the Rams ranked third in rushing yards on the season, most one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. The key matchup here is Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith going against Todd Gurley. That's the matchup of the game right there. I think the Rams going against the Cowboys defense is a much harder matchup than the Cowboys offense going against the Rams defense. So it's going to be tough, man. This is not. I have two friends who are Rams fans, and I kept talking to them like, you know, it's either going to be the Cowboys or the Bears. This was after the Cowboys beat the Seahawks. I'm like, who would you rather play? And they, at the time, we were going, oh, we don't want any part of that Bears defense. Then the Bears lost, and watching the way they played against the Eagles, it's like, oh crap. I feel like they would have rather played the Bears. I think the Rams would have matched up a little bit better against the Bears at home than they do against the Cowboys. So I'm nervous about this matchup for the Rams. I really am.
Well, here's the thing. You should be nervous because you're in the divisional round of the playoffs. Nothing's certain. I think we saw last week, nothing is certain. Dak Prescott finished as the second best quarterback in terms of fantasy last week. And by the way, just less than a point compared to Russell Wilson. Dak completing 22 of his 33 passes for 226 yards, one touchdown. He did have one interception that came late, and he had the rushing touchdown. So Dak played well. And it's going to be about how well he can manage this game. Not going to, you know, jump ahead in terms of X factor, but kind of spoiler alert on that one. The Rams defense, Eric, is also nothing to shake your head at. It's a good defense. It's one of it's going to be a challenge for Dak. Can he overcome that and kind of transcend his game? I mean, if Dak wins this game, Eric, two in a row for the Cowboys in the playoffs, he's going to move into like legend status. In week six, they were ready to can him. I mean, what a turnaround it's been for Dak.
Matt, does it feel validating knowing that me and you never dropped off the Dak train?
Never dropped off the Dak train.
We never dropped off that Dak train.
Never. I never sold Dak, man. I did not sell one share of Dak. I did not give up on Dak. Listen, and I'm not going to sit there and pretend like I wasn't sweating it out. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I wasn't apologizing to people on Twitter. Okay? Because it wasn't looking good there for a little while. But bringing Amari Cooper to town, getting his offensive line healthy again, it turned things around. And guess what? When that defense clicked, that makes controlling the game that much easier for Dak. And listen, we said it all along. Dak's not Aaron Rodgers. Dak's not Tom Brady. But guess what? With the pieces around him in that offense, he doesn't have to be. But when it comes playoff time, you got to have a little more. And can Dak do that? He got it done last week, but it wasn't the prettiest thing in the world.
He did lead two fourth quarter touchdown drives, though. He's got some clutch to him. He really does. I think the Cowboys have a clear advantage over the Rams when it comes to the Rams' rushing defense against the Cowboys' rushing offense. The Rams ranked 23rd in the league in rushing yards, all right? They've been gashed on the ground. And now you got Zeke coming to town? I don't like that at all. I expect the Cowboys to feed him early and often this game. The health of Cole Beasley obviously bears monitoring leading up to this game. Beasley was dinged up going into last game, last weekend's wildcard matchup against the Seahawks. And he definitely re-aggravated his ankle injury even further. I know he wasn't practicing today. Jerry Jones expects him to play, but I think Jerry Jones still thinks it's 1983, so who knows. Dak is at his best when he has his full arsenal. Obviously, so he's hampered by hampered Beasley is not good news for Dak. I would expect the Rams to throw a keep to leap on Amari Cooper. I don't see why they wouldn't. I know they could probably keep Peters on one side and Tlaib on the other and just go from there. I would not do that. I would have Talib shadow Cooper. Simply put, Peters has had a terrible year. I want no part of Marcus Peters on Amari Cooper. That would just be god awful. I like the Cowboys offense going against the Rams defense more than I like the Rams offense going against the Cowboys defense. But I will say this, Matt. You're right. They're not no slouch, and that's because of the pass rush. And you'll see from my X factor, we'll go into that right now. My X factor for the Rams, Aaron Donald, he's got to wreck the game. He's got to absolutely destroy the game for the Cowboys. And I think he could definitely do it. But that's a lot of pressure to put on one defensive lineman. You know, Ndamukong Suh is going to come have to play. Dante Fowler is going to have to come play. Mike Brock is going to have to come play. I'm not even sure if he's still playing anymore. He might be injured. Who knows? But that D-line, they have a tall task right now. Aaron Donald is the leader of that D-line. He's going to have to really destroy that Cowboys offensive line if they want to win. Matt, who's your X-factor for the Rams?
X-factor? I was really thinking in terms of fantasy context. X-factor, I think it's going to be Jared Goff. If he can play, I mean, so if you look at Jared Goff's last 2 weeks of the 2018 season, he had 5 touchdowns, over 400 yards combined, completed almost 80% of his passes in week 16. But if you look at those games, he's playing the Cardinals and the 49ers. Look at when things get a little bit tougher. He played the Chicago Bears defense in week 14. Remember that game? Jared Goff's worst game of his career, threw 4 interceptions, 180 yards. He played against Seattle earlier in the season, completed 70% of his passes, but threw 2 interceptions and only 1 touchdown. He played well against the Chargers week 3. I don't think the Chargers defense had really clicked yet. Is he, you know, which Jared Goff are we getting? Are we getting the guy that's tearing up the 49ers and the Cardinals and the Kansas City Chiefs, by the way? I'm not trying to disparage Jared Goff. I'm just saying he's got to do it against a top defense. And so is he going to be able to take his game to the next level? Listen, I realize I'm listing off a lot of quarterbacks as the X factors, but that's what it comes down to a lot of the times in the playoffs. Last week was defense. Almost through and through. I think we're going to see a little bit of a flip this week. I think the offenses get their shot. It's a lot of these offenses that had the byes because they were so dangerous all season. I want to see how the Rams do. And Eric, more importantly, I want to see how the Rams play in a tight game, because that's one of the things I've been hammering all season that I like about the Rams, is that they get the job done. And even when they don't get the job done, Eric, they've played in 7 games this season that have been decided by a touchdown or less. 4 of those games have been decided by 3 points or less. Win or lose, playing in those types of games consistently gives you a whole different level of mental toughness. And the Rams know what it's like to lose, and they do not want to lose. I think that offense is going to take them over the top, and I'm going to pick the Rams this week.
All right. I'm glad my Rams fan friends probably don't listen to this podcast. Taking the Cowboys.
I'm glad my friends don't listen to the podcast.
It's only 2 of them. Some of the others listen, but I'm pretty sure they. I hope they don't. Watch this be the week that they listen. It's like they see me pick the Cowboys.
Well, like, you know what? I haven't given Eric's podcast a good shot. Let me go ahead and flip it on this week. Son of a.
Just throw it on this week. This asshole. Look, I really like the Cowboys defense. I think the Rams offense has struggled without Cooper Kupp. I really do believe that's the safety net for Jared Goff. Cowboys can bring the pressure, man, and I think they're going to bring it. I like the Rams' offensive line. I think Gurley will have a good game. I just like the Cowboys more in this. I like the Cowboys all the way around. I really do. I think they're going to pull it out. I think they're going to beat them.
Gross.
I kind of hope I'm wrong. I actually do hope I'm wrong. I don't want to see the Cowboys win, but the analyst in me.
Yuck. By the way, the Rams are 7-point favorites, second highest of the week.
I don't agree with that.
So you would take the Cowboys to cover? You'd bet for the Cowboys to cover?
I would. I would.
All right. Eric, before we jump on to the Sunday games here, I want to remind our listeners about Fantasy Champs, the best fantasy football merchandise in the business. You can get custom jerseys, rings, trophies. If you haven't gotten that trophy for your league yet, maybe you can't find the right spot. You want to save some money, get 10% off with promo code TOP2. If you are looking ahead and you are a fantasy baseball or a fantasy basketball player, Fantasy Champs has just released specific trophies for fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball. So go ahead and take advantage of that. The promo code TOP2 gets you 10% off anything. Doesn't matter the sport. So go ahead, take advantage of that. Eric, this is kind of the moment you've been waiting for. Chargers at Patriots. Who are you taking?
Who am I taking?
Oh, I jumped it. I thought you would go right into it. I mean, we should get it out of the way with. You're taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots. You're taking the Chargers.
I'm picking the Chargers.
Let's move on here.
All right.
Patriots have the ball, Matt. Who do you like on their offense for fantasy? I know the three guys I like on their offense for fantasy. Who do you like?
What, the three running backs?
No, close.
The five running backs? The 15 running backs at this point?
Bet out the people you like.
I mean, I like Sony Michel. I actually sneakily like James White. I think James White, people haven't really caught on that James White has started to catch fire towards the end of the season. He's back up there getting the receptions. He's scored touchdowns in week 16 and week 17. He's got at least four targets the last, last 6 weeks, at least seven, 8 weeks. Yeah. And he's got seven targets in one of those weeks. James White, he was hot to start. He fell off in the middle of the season. And I think Belichick, you know, kind of reminded himself how dangerous James White is. So if you're playing DFS specifically this week, I think James White might be worth paying for over Sony. Sony struggled a little bit. He's become a little touchdown dependent. So Sony's actually a guy that I'm fading off of a little bit. And a guy, Eric, that I think has the potential to be an impact player is that third running back, Rex Burkhead. He snuck a touchdown in week 17. And if you were somebody who took Burkhead in the 10th round, 9th round of your best ball drafts, I think you are somebody who could be happy through the potential Patriots playoff run here. I think all three of these guys have the ability to contribute.
Ladies and gentlemen, I love it when Matt says he does a little analysis, and it warms my heart when he does something like that, because it reminds me that he actually does listen, and it's beautiful. Matt, you nailed it on the head. The two guys that I like, well, three, I said three, but two of the three, love White and Burkhead this week. Chargers struggle with covering pass-catching running backs. I expect the Patriots to scheme White and Burkhead open a lot. Chargers got some slow linebackers. I think that's going to be key to the game plan, to slowing down the pass rush. Like you said, Burkhead, you took him late. I think he's going to have a very good game. I think James White's going to get all the targets in the game, literally all of them, at least 10, I'm expecting. They should be a mismatch in the Patriots' favor. I expect them to exploit that. The third guy is Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman was out last year, hasn't played in the playoffs for two seasons. I think this guy's going to be shot out of a freaking cannon on Sunday. I expect him to be the rough, tough son of a bitch that I know he can be. I expect him to have a big game. I am not worried about him at all. He's the one guy on the Patriots I expect to show up on Sunday and to deal out some damage to the Chargers. So, Matt, love it. Love White, love Burkhead. Definitely big on them. Matt, let's go to the Chargers side of the ball. What do you like on the Chargers side on offense?
Eric, real quick, I just want to give you a little bit of backing on that stat that you dropped about the Chargers being bad against the running back. They allowed 974 receiving yards to running backs this season. That's the second most, only to the Atlanta Falcons, who allowed 976. So just 2 yards short of the most allowed receiving yards to running backs this season. So just to clarify, Eric, White, Burkhead, and then Michelle for me this week. I really would fade Sony Michel. I think he's a little bit of a grenade. If we're going to the Chargers side of the ball, Eric, I want to stay talking about running backs specifically because, let me tell you, Eric, Melvin Gordon did not look right last week. And Melvin Gordon was coming in and out of the game. And I want to emphasize out of the game, because Justin Jackson was getting action at the end of the game. Austin Eckler was getting consistent action throughout the game. And Melvin Gordon, just 40 yards last week on 17 attempts. He got that touchdown. Still questionable whether or not Melvin Gordon fumbled at the goal line, which was a 14-point swing in that game. Could have possibly cost the Ravens the game, but nobody's salty. Nobody's salty. The ball was moving. I am nervous about Melvin. I'm nervous about Melvin Gordon this week because I think he's going to go out there and play, but I'm telling you, he didn't look right last week. On the flip side of that, what's up?
Go ahead.
I just said
he's definitely less than 100%.
Yeah. Listen, Keenan Allen got shut down last week. And Phillip Rivers also got shut down last week. Just want to be clear, the Ravens lost because their offense couldn't get it together. Phillip Rivers was held to 160 passing yards, and most of those came at the back end of the third quarter or the beginning of the fourth quarter. For most of that game, Phillip Rivers was totally shut down by one of the best defenses in the league. Eric, I know that you would probably speak well of the Patriots defense. I don't think you would say that they're better than the Ravens. So I think that all of those guys, Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen, get a little bit of a bump. But I think it's worth pointing out that the Chargers offense was not super efficient last week.
Well, I want to look up something because I'm glad that you just brought that up. I'm actually very glad that you just brought that up because I've been looking. Everybody's sleeping on the Patriots defense. That is just a stone cold fact this week. All right, I get it. All right, they've had some games this year that have looked real ugly. That Tennessee game, the Miami game, looked real bad. All right, Baltimore gave up 17.9 points per game. All right, New England gave up 20.3. It's a 2-point difference. Now let me go into depth even further here. All right, first of all, when the Chargers have the ball, the person I'm most worried about, Matt, is, like you said, the one who's probably dinged up the most. I'm worried about Melvin Gordon. I'm worried about all three running backs. Those are the guys that I'm going to key in on if I'm New England. Now look, on the New England defense, much maligned for most of the season, but people would be surprised to know they allowed the seventh least amount of points on defense, 20.3 points per game. They're even better at home where they allow only 16.6 points per game. The Chargers O-line will be in the spotlight because even though the Patriots allowed low number of sacks, I believe they were around like third worst in getting sacks. I'm pretty sure they were amongst the highest in pressure percentage. So even though they're not getting home, they put pressure on you. They will put a pressure on Phillip Rivers. I don't think he performs that well when he's under pressure. I think he can throw you a couple. That's what I would be worried about if I'm rooting for LA. Again, like you said, Chargers have good receivers. And I'm not going to sit here and try and convince you that the Ravens defense isn't, you know, if the Patriots defense isn't better than the Ravens, all right. But what I will say, the Patriots secondary is very good. Stephon Gilmore was the number one rated corner from Pro Football Focus, and it showed this season. He was locked down at times. There was a couple of gaps, of course, in the Tennessee game. He played terrible. But basically every other game, they played very well. This New England secondary held Juju and AB to under 100 yards receiving. Jason McCourty, 6th ranked in Pro Football Focus. J.C. Jackson is the number 3 ranked corner amongst rookies. I'm just saying, man, if you expect the Chargers to come into New England and just put it on them from offense on their defense, you got another thing coming, because you're really underestimating that Patriots defense. I know it hasn't looked pretty this year, but at home, they've been pretty good. That's all I'll say about that. All right, let's move on to the Eagles Saints. That's it. I'm done.
Yeah? I'm cool with it. You want me to do the lead? I can do the lead. Eagles Saints, 440. Just to clarify, don't show up at 430 expecting some action, people. 440. Eagles at Saints. I'm going to say this right now. And listen, I think at this point, Eagles fans don't listen to the podcast. But if you do, I appreciate your loyalty. This is going to be the worst game of the week. The Saints will win by at least 2 touchdowns. I think this game's over at halftime. This game is over at halftime. I'm saying it right now. The Saints are going to dominate this game. The Eagles got lucky at best last week. All right. The Nick Foles thing, it's got to stop, people. Nick Foles is not clutch because your defense blocked a kick. I just want to be very clear about that. Nick Foles did not win you the game. Nick Foles was closer to losing you the game last week. Needed to say that first, Eric. I needed to say that first. And don't call me, don't say I'm just picking on the Eagles because they're division rivals. Because guess what? I like the Cowboys a lot less. And I was nice to the Cowboys when picking the Rams against them.
All right, that's fair. Listen, I agree with you. I think this is probably the most lopsided matchup of the four. That doesn't have anything. That doesn't even have anything to do with this matchup. It has more to do with the three other matchups just being very even. It's a tall task for the Eagles. Last week, I wanted to say, you know, oh man, the Bears are just going to blow them out. They're going to destroy them. I couldn't say it. Just did not feel confident enough in the Bears to do that. This week's a different story. If the Eagles pull this off this week, I'm convinced that there's something in the water in Philadelphia, because this would be the most improbable victory in sports history. All right. The Saints are playing incredible ball down the stretch here. Their defense has turned into one of the best units in the league, which is where we thought they would be in the beginning of the season. It took them a little while to get there, but now they're there. The Eagles seem to be rejuvenated. They are rejuvenated under Nick Foles. It's hard to deny that. But the last time these two met, it was not pretty. Week 11, New Orleans destroyed Philadelphia 48-7. All right, Drew Brees threw for 363 yards and 4 touchdowns. I expect the Saints to do more of that. All right, I don't see any reason why they would go away from that. I don't think the Philly secondary is that great. It's really patchwork outside of Malcolm Jenkins right now. So if you got Brees, if you got Michael Thomas, if you got Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, who combined for 174 yards on 29 attempts and 3 total touchdowns in that blowout win, you're fine for fantasy this week. I think you're going to have a great game. Extremely tall task for the Eagles defense. When they have the ball, here's the good news for the Eagles. They can throw all they want in this game, because the Saints allowed the second least amount of rushing yards in the NFL, and the Eagles didn't even have a 100-yard rusher all season in a single game. So if I'm the Eagles, throw the run game out the window. I don't even care about it. You're going to have to put the ball into Nick Foles' giant-ass hands, and he's going to need to play turnover-free football. All right, if he plays clean, if he throws for 400 yards miraculously again, and he throws for 4 touchdowns, they got a chance. But with that said, like I said, this would be improbable. This is the game where I'm just praying that it ends. Because last week, I gave them a chance last week, and they did it. They pulled it out. Did they get lucky? Matt, you want to say they got lucky? Sure. That weird bounce, doink, double doink, whatever the hell you
want. Listen, I'm not saying they got lucky, because the Eagles' defense blocked that kick. That's good defense. That's good special teams. I'm not saying they got lucky. But what I'm saying is that Nick Foles didn't lead them to victory. That's what I'm saying. Because there's nothing wrong with your defense leading you to victory. Just call it that.
And that, you said Nick Foles did not lead him to victory. I agree. I think Nick Foles has to lead him to victory this week. I don't think he will. That's why I picked the Saints.
Eric, in terms of fantasy, I want to talk about Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. The Eagles allowed the 11th most passing yard, 11th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season, and they allowed the 6th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers this season. I think Michael Thomas can be in for a big game playing at home, playing in the dome. We know Drew plays better at home in the dome. But here's the other thing. If you're playing in DFS, if you're playing in leagues where you can only use players once, look at the other guys in New Orleans. Those other wide receivers in New Orleans have been known to flash up and steal touchdowns. We're talking Traquan Smith. We're talking Ted Ginn. We're talking Keith Kirkwood. All of those guys have the ability to go out and score touchdowns because Drew Brees likes to spread the love around. And Eric, maybe even a touchdown for the man on his way out, Benjamin Watson. That would be nice.
You know what's the worst part about the whole Benjamin Watson thing, Matt? I love Benjamin Watson. He was a Patriot. And you're making it hard for me to root for him. Like, I love Benjamin Watson. I want him to get a ring.
And Juno?
I don't think he got one in New England. I think they drafted him in like 06. So, yeah, I like Benjamin Watson. Sure, let him get one on the way out.
There you go.
Just end the fan for me.
Can we do X Factors? Because I'm ready to do my X Factor for the Saints.
I'm not ready for you to say Ben Watson.
I'm not doing Ben Watson. Don't worry. I'm not doing Ben Watson.
All right, fine. Who's your X Factor?
It's Sean Payton. Did you hear what Sean Payton did?
You want to get a team motivated? That'll do it.
That was freaking... Honestly, that was the best thing I've ever heard. I've never heard of something better that a coach has done. He is the X Factor. He's the ultimate X Factor. If for some reason you don't know what we're talking about, there's no videos or anything. I haven't seen a video yet. But reports have come in that yesterday, so we're recording on Wednesday night, so on Tuesday, Sean Payton of the Eagles rolled up of the Saints. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to tell this story. I'm messing it all up. Sean Payton of the Saints walked into the Saints locker room with armed security guards, threw down in cash dollar bills $250,000 in the middle of the locker room, put the Saints Lombardi Trophy on top of it, and asked those players if they wanted to win. That is the report. That's a direct quote. Are you kidding me? That is freaking awesome.
Right at that moment of that report, the Eagles knew they were screwed.
Yep.
Good luck, Eagles.
By the way,
last week I gave you a chance. This week I'm not giving you a chance.
The $250,000 is what every player makes for winning the Super Bowl. So that's why he walked in with $250,000. That's freaking awesome. It was at that point the Saints won the game. The Saints have already won. It's just a matter of getting out there and doing it.
That's a motivational tactic that goes in the Hall of Fame of motivational tactics.
Honestly. Yeah, if Sean Payton wasn't already a Hall of Fame coach, he just sealed it. Give him the jacket.
Got the bus ready.
All right, Eric. Any final thoughts on the playoffs? The divisional round?
Well, I think we covered it all. Most exciting weekend in football, people. Get ready. Buckle up. It's going to be a hell of a ride.
This is the last week. This is the last week where we get four games. It starts to dwindle down from here. So you gotta enjoy that part of it as well. Reminder to please go ahead and leave us a rate and review if you haven't already. Really appreciate that. Leaving us a 5-star rating. It'll take 2 seconds of your day, but it'll make a big impact on us and others' abilities to hear the podcast. Like I mentioned earlier, if you didn't check out our QB primer episode, part one, go ahead and do that at some point before early next week. Because we're going to hit up, we're going to drop part two. We're going to talk about combined. We're going to talk about all 10 major fantasy relevant quarterbacks and their draft prospects, breaking down the pros and cons of all of them, really breaking down the tape. So go ahead and listen to that. Check us out online at theffanalyst.com. And thanks for listening, everyone.
Later, Tanners.